And Bob Woodward joins us now. He's back with a new look inside the White House. But before we talk about that, Bob, I've got to ask for your thoughts on the politicians who are running for the White House now and what they can do about this financial crisis that has gripped not only Wall Street, but Washington as well. Welcome to the show. What are your thoughts on that?
Thank you. Well, one of the things presidents discover, they're not commander-in-chief of the economy. They are commander-in-chief of the military. And the president can do something on the economy, but it still is basically a free market system. And I agree, we are in a once-in-a-century crisis. Where it bounces and how it lands is, you almost have to take it day by day.
But do Obama and McCain have to grab hold of this as the issue in the next 6.5 weeks?
That's a great question. I mean, what people are looking for is a presidential candidate who's going to say, I will use the power of the presidency to do something about the economy and Wall Street. Bill Clinton beat George Bush Sr. in 1992 on that message, and people are very interested in having a president who's going to be strong and forceful. In this kind of crisis, where it is the free market system, it's very hard for a president to step in and say, oh, look, this is the button I push to fix it.
Talking to author and reporter extraordinaire Bob Woodward, the Bob Woodward, and it's your contention here talking about other matters, the war in Iraq specifically, your latest effort to really look into it and why we are where we're at right now, that the surge, the most recent development, is not entirely responsible for the decrease of violence in Iraq. Isn't that right?
Exactly. Things are much better, less violence, more stability, but they're are a series of top-secret operations that have been developed over time that have allowed the U.S. military to locate, target, and kill key members and operatives in al-Qaeda and the Iraqi insurgency. And the sudden drop last year in violence, where in a matter of weeks it was cut by 50%, is due to surge, due to the top-secret operations, and, of course, the Sunnis who were fighting us coming over to our side in many cases.
What do you think the promotion of General Petraeus, taking him out of day-to-day operations in Iraq, does?
It gives him responsibility overall for the Iraq war and the Afghanistan war. So he, in a sense, his burden increases. The new commander-in-chief is going to inherit not just the wars, but General Petraeus, somebody who has an immense amount of credibility, because he hasn't overstated his case. He will say, yeah, things have improved, but they're still fragile and reversible.
Defense Secretary Robert Gates is saying today that the Bush administration is considering possible changes in their war strategy in Afghanistan because of the rising levels of violence there and the more complex insurgent threat there. Does that, combined with the Petraeus move, mean that we can see, if not a withdrawal of troops from Iraq, certainly a shift of many of the troops from there to Afghanistan?
What's interesting, when you look at, we have 146,000 troops in Iraq now. That is a massive land army in the middle of the Middle East. It's been there for about 5.5 years since the invasion. The plan is to shift some support troops, but not much. I mean, Petraeus knows that Iraq will come and surprise you and bite you on the rear end when you least expect it. So those troops are there for a reason, because we know it is a war that is not over.
And Bob, when we're in the war within, you paint a very troubling picture of a White House in the last couple of years where there are deliberate efforts to, I don't know, keep people out of the loop, deceive other cabinet members and that as to what's really going on in Iraq. That would not really seem to be the way to run a railroad.
Yes. President Bush never built a cohesive team. Maybe until now, but for years the infighting was legend, and he did not find a way to communicate with the American people that was truthful about the war. He kept saying, we're winning, absolutely, when he knew we were not. In 2006, we were in dire straits. He has not, in a sense, the book is a roadmap or a handbook for the next commander-in-chief, the issues they're going to face in this critical war, and maybe some of the mistakes that Bush made.
The book is called The War Within, A Secret White House History, 2006 to 2008. I guess you're going to have to develop some inside the Oval Office contacts for either McCain or Obama now, Bob.
Yes, that is quite true. I just wanted to say I was raised in Chicago, out in Wheaton in DuPage County,
yes,
and
yep,
in the 1950s, and listened to WLS all the time. I'm glad that you have survived and thrived.
Would you like to hear a classic jingle that you're probably very, very familiar with from the days of this being one of the great music radio stations in America?
Yeah, it truly was. It was the sound of the 50s.
See if this brings back a memory, Bob.
Chicago's favorite, WLS.
You can probably sing along with that, can't you?
I think I'm in 1958.
Yeah, sing it. Give us a WLS. Come on.
Yeah, well, I wish I could. It's one of my many weaknesses, singing, so I'm not going
to try. I've got to say something to you, too, that you, Woodward and Bernstein, are the reason that I became a journalist. I mean, you, the inspiration of the reporting on Watergate, all the politics aside, but just the digging and what you did at the Washington Post is why I inspired me in journalism school to become a journalist and a newsman, which is what I've done the most of my life. So
it's your fault, Bob.
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks for your time this morning.
It's a great business to be in.
It is.
The book is called The War Within, A Secret White House History, 2006 to 2008. Bob Woodward here on the Big 89 WLS.